play our sermon bumper, and I'll be back to share the word. All right, so we're at the conclusion of our Pressure Point series. And this has been a really fun series. And next week, we start a brand new series called Money and Me. And so, you know, here's the thing. I think I respect you enough to try not to, like, bait and switch you. We're talking about money. It's not about the church and money. It's really about me and my money. And so Money and Me is what the series is called. And so instead of having some fancy title that's going to disguise what I'm going to talk about, I was just going to respect you as my peers and tell you what it's about. And that's what it's about. It's about my money and my faith. And so you want to be a part of that. There's no gotcha at the end. There is no hidden agenda to somehow, buy a million-dollar house or something. But we want to complete the conversation about pressure points today. And I think this is a really important topic. And so I want us to do it together. And we're going to look at the fourth of four of Paul's metaphors he uses in 2 Corinthians chapter 4:9. He talks about being pressed on every side. He talks about being perplexed. He talks about being persecuted. But fourthly, he talks about being struck down. And in all of these metaphors, he says that he is pressed on every side, but not crushed. He's perplexed, but he's not in despair. He's persecuted, but he's not abandoned. And this week, it talks about being struck down, but not destroyed. So, church, we know this. We know that we're going to be knocked down. We know that we're going to fall. We know we're going to fail. We know we might be stumbling. We might be put down, sat down, knocked down, thrown down, tripped down. We're going to go down at some point. Amen? And so when we go down, we have two options. We either stay down or we get up. Right? I mean, I know you came here for some profound teaching. You have two options when you go down. You go down, or you stay down, or you get up. And I'm here to tell you this morning that the comeback is included when you go down. When you're following the ways and the means of God, the comeback is included in the process. So if that would just be our mindset, that, you know what, whatever I'm going through, wherever I'm at, whatever I'm experiencing, the comeback is included. You don't have to wonder if the comeback's going to come. Because even though you're going through something, you can say, oh no, wait a minute, I know the comeback's included. The comeback's included. And so here's the illustration, right? So I got my little catapult here, right? My little slingshot. And so what do we know about the slingshot? You have to go back, right? Go back, go down in order to what? To come back. In order to get a projectile, to get something to go farther, it actually first has to go back and go down. And so what oftentimes happens is that when we are desiring that we want to go forward, we want to reach what God has for us, we want to be exactly what God's design is, sometimes He allows us to go back and down before we go forward. When we encounter things and we're cast down, we have pressure, we have tension. It's simply creating stored and potential energy to go forward. In order to go further than our resting position. Isn't that great? Isn't that so good that when we're going through something, it's actually just potential energy stored? stored energy in order to go further. That if we don't go through things, if we don't have tension, if we don't have pressure, we will not go as far as we would without. And so, church, the promise today is that it's not just about beating the count off the mat every time we fall. See, sometimes we get this analogy that you know what, hey, every time you're knocked down, just get back up. And so we have this image of the boxer that's knocked down and he's like grabbing for the ropes. And hey, listen, the God told me that I'm not going to be destroyed, and so I'm going to make it back up before the 10 count. I think that's a miserable way to think about it. That, oh, we're not going to be knocked out. Great. But we're going to be really pummeled in the process. No, I believe that it's not about just beating the count off the mats. Maybe there's more in what you're going through and the pressure and the tension you are facing. That you're cast down, but you're not destroyed. You're not counted out. You're catapulted into the newest opportunity, phase, and stage of your life. And maybe the most important piece of the slingshot, and certainly of this pressure points message, is that the ultimate energy of how an object and how far an object goes is not, in essence, has anything to do with the slingshot. It's an energy outside of the apparatus that causes for the great length, right? It's what I can put on it. The pressure I'll put on it, the tension I'll put on it will prove. And there is someone outside of the apparatus, outside of the situations in our life, that God is with us. He is sometimes applying pressure. He's going to use the tension and the pressure to guide us in where we ought to go. And so there is a passage in Acts chapter 14 that, if you have your Bible, I really want you to see this, because I think this is a beautiful passage that really shares the essence of this idea of the comeback is included. And so let's all turn in our Bibles to Acts chapter 14. And what we're really going to do is we're going to walk verse by verse through a small passage in Acts chapter 14 and see how in Paul's story, the comeback was included. And it gets off to a crazy, crazy start in verse 19. Then some Jews came from Antioch and Iconium and won the crowd over. They stoned Paul and dragged him outside the city, thinking he was dead. So this is crazy, right? So the Jews from almost 90 miles away, they show up in Lystra, and they show up here in this city where Paul's hanging out with Barnabas. And they come from 90 miles away, and they show up, and there's some Gentiles there, the enemy. So it's the Jews' enemy is the Gentile. But these Jews come in, and they start having this conversation with these Gentiles, and the Gentiles go from wanting to worship and sacrifice to Paul and Barnabas because they thought they were gods, to a couple of minutes later, now they're stoning Paul. These Jews were so persuasive that they convinced these Gentiles to join them in the stoning of Paul. And so now Paul is going through the most horrific experience of his ministry. And he's stoned to death. The very one who had consented to Stephen's stoning earlier in the book of Acts is now he himself experiencing the stoning. And so the lifeless body of Paul is dragged outside of the city because they thought he was dead, and they weren't going to bury him. They were just going to let him rot. And it says in verse 20, but after the disciples had gathered around him, he got up and went back into the city. The next day, he and Barnabas left for Derbe. Wait a minute. Hold on. He had just gotten stoned, and he has this miraculous recovery, and the next day walks back into the same city that he had been stoned in. That's a miracle. He walks back into the same city he had just been stoned in. Church, I want us to be careful in how we treat this, but I think there's a truth in this. Church, I believe that through the power of God, you can walk back into situations where those people thought they had killed you, that situation thought that it had pummeled you, you can walk back in healed. You don't have to walk away defeated. You can walk back healed. Now, here's the catch. Because see, some of us, if you were like me, right, how would I walk back into that situation? I'd be like, yeah, look it up. Mm-hmm. Look at me. I'm healed. You didn't get the best of me. That's not how Paul walked back into the city. Paul walked back into that city for God's glory. He walked back into that city in order to demonstrate what God had done in his life. And so, church, God may allow us to walk back into situations that thought had defeated us or thought had killed us, but we walk back in to demonstrate that the power of God is real and can bring healing in our lives. So we walk back into situations for his glory and for his attention, not to highlight our power. But one of the truths in this passage is that there's no stones that are going to stop the mission of God. Amen? Not the stoning of Stephen, not the stoning of Paul, and certainly not a stone on Easter Eve. Amen? I thought I'd get a little more reaction out of that one. I worked all week on that one. Wow, the crowd's a tough crowd today. Which relates back to the note that my wife gave me. I just found this. Inside cover. Audience of one. You got this. That's just code for it's not about the congregation. It's about the ministry of God. It's not about how well I do and how convincing I am. It's about how I honor God. The same is true when we walk back into situations. Have I honored God? And we know that he honored God is that when he walked back, so he just gotten stoned, and now he walks, what's the number? I think the next day he walks 40 miles after being stoned. He goes from Lystra to Derbe. And one of the great things is in verse 21, let's look at this. They preached the good news in that city and won a large number of disciples. Wait a minute. Yesterday, he was defeated. Yesterday, he was within an inch of his life. Yesterday, they thought they had won. But he walks away, healed, and fulfilling God's design. Church, the comeback is included. That in Paul's situation, where he faces the most difficult day of his life, where he is stoned, the next day, church, the comeback was included. They won a large amount of disciples in the season following the most horrific point in his life. And it says they go from Lystra to Derbe, then Lystra to Iconium and Antioch, and they're just basically strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to their faith. Paul has a tremendous amount of courage that even though he had been expelled and threatened and stoned, he was not destroyed. So, church, this is an easy application from me to you. I don't know how easy of an application it is for us in our own lives. But I want you to know the promise is true that although we are knocked down, you will not be destroyed. Because the comeback is included in the process. And so we see in verse 22, they're committed. Paul is committed to the call and the mission and bringing the gospel to new places and making disciples and strengthening the local church. But he says in verse 22, he clearly says in verse 22, that all of this fulfillment comes at a cost. Look at this, verse 22. Strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true in the faith. So this is what he was doing. He was going through all these cities doing this, strengthening them. But then it says, we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. There's a cost to discipleship. There's a cost to following Jesus. But I want you to know that in the midst of the cost, in the midst of the hardship, in the midst of the tension, in the midst of the pressure, don't ever forget that the comeback is included. Before there can be bread, the wheat must be crushed. Before they can be a beautiful smell, the incense must be burned. And no matter what you do to a rose, if the rain hits it, the wind blows it, somebody tries to crush it, the scent is still released. Did you know that? Try to get a rose not to smell. Whatever you do, you're only increasing the smell. And I want us to believe that when we're going through something, oh God, help this not be a gimmick. Because this is not meant to be a gimmick. This is supposed to be the truth of God's word. That when we're going through something, it's only taking us closer to where God wants us to be. And we see in verses 23 through 25, and you can read that there, it basically just kind of shows their journey, and they continue to travel, equipping the local churches and continuing to share and encourage people in Bethsaida and Pamphylia, Perga, Attalia. And then we come to verse 26, and this is really what started out the week out is really in just really energizing me. Because in verse 19, let's not forget, in verse 19, Paul is stoned. In verse 26, this is what it says. From Attalia, they sailed back to Antioch, where they had been committed to the grace of God for the work they had now, what is that? They had now completed. The very mission had been fulfilled. See, when those men at Lystra thought that they were going to end the mission, thought they were going to snuff out Paul, thought that they could kill and destroy him. They couldn't. The mission was completed. It was fulfilled inside and out. The comeback was included. All that had happened, all the unanticipated, all the interruptions, all the unprepared events, never once was the comeback in doubt. Paul had a story. Paul had a testimony, and I believe all of us have a testimony. God is writing your story. You will not be defeated. It is not over. So when we're dealing with this pressure, let that be our perspective. Church, we must be committed to the call in our lives. We will fail. We will fall. We will drown. We'll fall down. But knowing that each time the comeback is included. One of the things I find interesting as we try to come towards the end of this passage is that you would think that Paul, after this huge victory, kind of denying death in Lystra, being stoned, and then going through and having all these successes, that it would give him a big head. But in verse 27, it says this, on arriving there, they gathered the church together and reported all that Paul and Barnabas had done themselves? No. They reported all that what? God had done through them. Did you know that God's doing something in and through you? He's doing it. He's doing it. He's doing it in and through you. They were reporting how God had done it. Paul never forgot through the entire process, the entire 18 months. His first missionary journey was 18 months. He had 18 months of trials, but eventually the comeback was included. And he shows back up at Antioch, the place where he was sent out. And he comes back and he says, look at what God has done. That's the Ebenezer, right? That's the celebrating what God has done. And I want to encourage you today that there's going to be Ebenezers. There's going to be victories. There's going to be a comeback. Some of you don't believe me. When you say, listen, Pastor, you know, you've only been here about 15 months. You don't really know me. You don't really know my story. I'm stuck. Like, I mean, seriously, like, the things I've done, they have created this rock in a hard place that I can't progress. I can't go forward. I cannot get a job. I cannot find a wife or a husband. I cannot this. I can't save that. I just can't. I'm stuck. Or maybe there's a group of us that are saying, listen, you know what, Pastor? Life has pushed me so far under, I'm drowning. I don't know if I have any life left in me. Or maybe some of you know the mistakes that you've made. And you're living with those scars, and you're saying, and listen, God can't use me. I've been disqualified. I mean, there's no use for me. I basically have to just live this life out, the remainder of the life out, just as a second-class servant of the Lord. Because God's best for me is gone. And I want you to know that in these silly examples, I think there's a point. There was a casting director from MGM after Fred Astaire's first audition said, can't act, slightly bald, can dance a little. There was an older expert once declared about a younger coach, he possesses minimal football knowledge, lacks motivation, and he was referring to Vince Lombardi. Walt Disney fired by a newspaper for lack of ideas. Thomas Edison's teachers gave up on him. He's too stupid to do anything. Henry Ford failed and was broke 5 times prior to success. Paul was stoned, but had a full and complete comeback. You know, one of the lies the enemy tells me is that I'm too old, right? It's too old to have a significant work of God in through my life. I've been stoned, and I wonder if there's a comeback. Church, all of this, all of those times you've been pressed on every side, all those times you've been perplexed with unresolved tension and unsolved problems, all those times that you've been persecuted, all those times you've been knocked down, it is accomplishing something in your story. You know, it's funny, when I read Acts chapter 14, I couldn't find one commentator, one preacher anywhere. I mean, literally, all the sources that I used to aid me in my development of my sermon, I couldn't find one author. Maybe this means that I'm like out on the island by myself, but I wouldn't tell you. You don't know that now. So I couldn't find one author that connected 2 Corinthians chapter 4, those four metaphors that we've been spending the last 4 weeks on, this whole crushed and persecuted and perplexed and struck down. I couldn't find one author that connected 2 Corinthians chapter 4 with Acts chapter 14, where Paul is stoned but then completes the mission. See, all of that produced this. Do you believe that in your life, that all of that produces this? God is doing and using all of this to create that. The comeback is included. Don't forget, there's no additional purchase necessary. You don't have to go through more in order for the comeback to come. That what we're going through, what we're walking through, the comeback is included. Paul knew the power and victory of Jesus in his life. You want to know why Paul knew the power and the victory of Jesus in his life? Because Paul went through continually situations that required the power and the victory of Jesus in his life. We're praying for lives that don't have any tension. We're praying for lives that don't have any pressure. But I believe that if we don't have pressure, we don't have tension, we won't see the power of Jesus in our life. We won't need the power of Jesus in our life. If you've never done anything that required faith, you don't need faith. Right? If everything's been laid out for you, you don't need faith. See, the enemy might have you on the verge of believing that you're going backwards and you're going down. M.R. DeHaan wrote this little piece, and I'd like to read it to you. A little piece of wood once complained bitterly because its owner kept whittling it away, cutting it, filling it with holes. But the one who was cutting is so remorselessly paid no attention to its complaining. He was making a flute out of that piece of ebony, and he was too wise to desist from doing so. Even though the wood complained bitterly, he seemed to say, little piece of wood, without these holes and all this cutting, you would be a black stick forever, just a piece of ebony. What I am doing now may make you think that I am destroying you, but instead, I will change you into a flute, and your sweet music will charm the souls of men and comfort many a sorrowing heart. My cutting you is the making of you, for only thus can you be a blessing in the world. And I close with where we started. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 7. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Amen. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back, and we're going to close our service with a time of communion. So we're singing the songs, and I'm thinking, God, like, I don't tell Kathy what I'm preaching. She has a theme, but she doesn't know exactly. And I didn't want to have communion last week just for a simple reason that I thought it would be confusing with someone preaching besides me. And so I decided to just push communion off to next week. And we're having communion today. And my silly thinking, you would think after all these years I'd figure this out, that God did it. And we're having communion today because why? Because the comeback is included. Right? They thought they were crucifying the King of the Jews. They thought they were eliminating the threat to the Jewish way. They thought they could snuff out the new way. But guess what? The comeback was included. They thought that Friday was the end. They didn't realize, thanks to people, Sunday was coming. Amen. They thought Friday was the end, but Sunday is coming. They thought that they could press him, they could perplex him, they could persecute him, they could strike him down. They didn't realize the comeback was included. They didn't realize that he knew he had to die in order for us to live. They didn't realize that that problem of sin would be taken care of by the shed blood of one man. They didn't realize that by crucifying one man, they would ignite a movement that would change the world. And so today, we take a simple piece of bread, a simple glass of juice, and we eat them as a symbol that the comeback is included. The symbol that Jesus is not dead. He wasn't just a 33-year-old man who was a great teacher. No, he was our Lord. the one who we can follow. He is our Savior, the one who will rescue us no matter where we are and how long we've been there. We have a Lord and we have a Savior. And so when you come forward today and you pick up this piece of bread and you drink this small cup of juice, I want you to remember that if you believe what is symbolized here, there is nothing that you'll ever go through that God isn't setting you up for a comeback. Amen? Amen. I think that's enough. Let's sing.